I'd like to begin with a clause or two. Who believe I said clause in church at this time of year? How dare I say clause? A clause or two. I want you to be patient with me. We have a rather odd beginning to our sermon. But we'll start with the word. Our sermon title is Faithful Visitations. The clause or two is right here. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this pairing here. A favor with vengeance. How appropriate. What a summary of Advent. For it was from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself that these very words came as he appeared in the synagogue in his hometown with folks wanting to throw him off a cliff for proclaiming alongside a favor, vengeance. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful when you visit. Advent is about your arrival. We thank you that you were faithful in the Advent, the arrival of 2,000 years ago, and you will be faithful as you come in your final visitation to us. Help us to look forward to those. Lord, each time you come, you bless us with your presence. And as we heard from our reading, at your presence, the mountains quake. Help us to be awake. Help us to be alert. Thank you for this Advent season. In Jesus' name, amen. Once upon a time, it was believed that a resident of the North Pole would make annual visits, even to every house around the world. And these visits were faithful visits. And once upon a time, everybody knew that they would be faithful visits. He was a faithful visitor. He also was discerning. He was just. You wanted to be ready for him. You wanted to be good. There was no hiding from him. He knew when you were sleeping. And if you were awake, he knew all about that too. He knew if you were bad or good. And because he was faithful, for goodness sake, you wanted to be good too. Because he was faithful. Did I mention that he was discerning and that he was just? Meticulously so. He made lists. And he would check them twice. For those of you from South Troy, that means he really had to look at it at least three times. He made the list. He checked it once. He checked it twice. More than that, there would be an exposure about who was naughty and who was nice. I think somebody ought to write a song about this guy. The backdrop of all of this was a historical figure. St. Nicholas. He was from the region around Turkey, 4th century, believed to be a monk. And he wanted to expand righteousness. And one time at the celebration of the birth of Jesus, he left gold. He left gold. This is how it all began. He left gold in the socks or stockings of the daughters of a very poor but righteous man. And that gold was left in those stockings because he was really poor, and he wanted them, to those daughters, to have a dowry, another ancient concept, that when you got married, the bride would bring certain resources into the family, and marriages typically didn't take place unless you had a dowry to bring. And so that gold in those stockings were a dowry for those righteous people who were very, very poor, so they might marry, so they might continue to advance the godliness that their father had shown them, instead of being doomed to a life of ill repute for their own sustenance. Without marriage, they'd be walking on the street, selling their body just to have food. It later came to be that another tradition arose, and that is the tradition whereby a lump of coal was placed in socks or stockings. A lump of coal was placed there for those who were unworthy of support and advancement. The coal was a symbol that that faithful visitor simply didn't forget you. Stocking's empty. It's not that he forgot you. That coal was placed there intentionally. It was placed there on purpose. Not accidentally forgotten, because then you could say, well, you know, maybe he miscounted how many people live here. Or maybe he's going to come back later, you know. It was purposefully placed in the stockings. Intentionally. And where did that coal come from? Well, it simply was the residue of their own chimney. That's where he got it from. We all know that coming down the chimney is the way that you would enter a home. He gave them something that was not from outside their life, but placed it in their stocking unmistakably and intentionally so they would know that they were not worthy of support. You see, the picture that I painted for you thus far is a picture that rounds out this idea that this visitor was a faithful visitor. I began with the words once upon a time because there's now a new perception about clause. A new perception about this one we call Santa. It's different today. He's not discerning. He's not interested in justice. Good and bad don't matter anymore. There are no studied lists. Naughty or nice, who cares? Come on, naughty or nice, that's so old-fashioned, so judgmental, so unloving. The new Santa is a socialist Santa. Everybody's kind of good. Everybody's going to get presents. Haven't you heard of diversity and equity and inclusion? That's the new Santa. Everybody gets the goodies. Unfortunately, everybody ends up thinking, you know what, I'm going to get a new Lexus in the driveway. I'm going to get that new Lexus no matter how I lived. Because this visitor is there to boost me. And when you don't get that Lexus, you just become greener than the Grinch with envy. How could this have happened? You and I really need a faithful visitor. And thank God we have one. A faithful visitor. Now, sadly, what has happened in our culture is that many have tried to do with Jesus what the culture has done with Santa. This book tells us that Jesus is a faithful visitor, that he will reward the righteous, and that he will punish the wicked and the evildoers. But many have tried to do with Jesus what the culture has done with that visitor from the North Pole. Oh, no, Jesus is just there, one-way street. And if he comes, it's blessing for everybody. They have made him undiscerning. Remember the lists? And you remember the omniscience, knowing everything? Remember the exposure about who's naughty and who's nice? They have made him undiscerning. They have made him unjust. And they have made him unfaithful. Biblical Advent is about Jesus. It's about Jesus and his faithful visitations. Those in the past and those in the future. But know this, when he comes, he is always faithful. The fuller picture of the first advent is in Isaiah 61, first three verses here. These were the words that Jesus spoke in the synagogue as he began his earthly ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me, anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Got a little of my King James in there. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those that mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beautiful headdress instead of the ashes, the oil of gladness instead of their mourning, the garment of praise instead of that faint spirit, that they might be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, the words that Jesus quotes as he begins his ministry. And just as we noted in Sunday school, his visit was complete with comfort and condemnation, favor and vengeance. Our gospel lesson has a parallel passage that I guess I'd like to reference at this point. It's Luke 21. Remember our gospel lesson? The day of the Lord, immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's the setting here. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by army, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. You mean the first advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ? The presence of Jesus Christ there in the first century meant that those were the days of vengeance? I thought Jesus was like the modern Santa with, we're going to rejoice only. All people are going to rejoice only. The presence of Christ meant that these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. When God visits, things happen. Look at Luke 19. This is when, did I miss some verses there? Oh, yeah, 32, before we get to that. Great, thank you, Aaron. Truly I say to you, just to place it in its proper historical context, again to remind you, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all has taken place. God visits. Things happen. Just a little earlier in Luke 19. This is as he is approaching Jerusalem, and he weeps over Jerusalem. Why is he weeping? Because he knows the destruction that's coming upon them, because they weren't ready. They weren't faithful. They weren't productive. They weren't awake. When he drew near to the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side, tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another. Because you did not know the time of visitation, that God was coming to visit. I hope you see the parallels there with that first story. There's a visit, and it's a visit of favor, or it's a visit of vengeance. Teaching that to your children is not a bad thing. That there's a visit of favor and a visit of vengeance. His visit means his presence, comfort and condemnation. His first advent was both. It was salvation and it was vengeance. And again, the Bible sets forth many comings of God. Many times when his presence is made known, these comings, we might refer to them as visits. And often these visits come for corrective purposes in the lives of his people. And so make this Advent a time of correction for you. He can come at any time. That's what our gospel lesson is about. You don't know the hour. I don't know the hour. Visits. Do you know that word shows up quite a bit, especially in the King James here? If we were to look at, I think our first slide is about Jeremiah. Yeah, Jeremiah. Both of these verses are the same verse. One is from the English Standard Version. The first one is from the King James. For thus has the Lord of hosts said, hew down your trees. Oh, how is that? This is a city to be visited. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we think of the word visit, oh, somebody's coming over for tea and cookies, right? This is a city to be visited. And he's saying you better, you know, cut down some trees and build a barricade against what God is going to do to you. This is a city that's going to be visited. Why? Because she is wholly oppressed. That same verse is found in the English version. Cut down the trees, cast up a siege mound against Jerusalem. This is the city that must be punished. That's how the word visit is translated for more modern ears. Look at Isaiah 10. Verse 3, same format here, King James. What will you do in the day of visitation? Look at the ESV. What will you do in the day of punishment? How many of you think of Christmas Day, Christmas morning, as a day of punishment? Does it even register? What will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory is the way that the King James puts it. In the New Modern Era, it says, what will you do in the day of punishment? That's how we ought to view it, at least potentially. In the ruin that will come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your money? Kind of sounds like a little bit like what Terry preached on last week, right? What are we doing with these talents that we have? And are we reaching out to the least of these? Let's look at a couple others just to see, to round out this idea of visiting here in Jeremiah 5 and 9. Shall I not punish them for these things? Shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? I messed up here. I wanted these three verses in the King James, because shall I not visit you for this? That's what it says. And think about our land. You know what? If you have no other takeaways for yourself personally, pray for our nation. Shall I not visit a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? 29 of the same book, same chapter, Jeremiah 5 and 29. Shall I not punish? Shall I not visit them for these things, is what the King James says. The next reference we have, I think, is chapter 9. Shall I not punish them? Shall I not visit them? God is promising over and over that he's going to come and he's going to visit. He's going to be a faithful visitor. In every case, ESV says punish, King James says visit. The takeaway? His visitations are always faithful. Always faithful. When God visits, things happen. How about our Old Testament lesson? Remember Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heaven and come down. This sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? Through the cloven skies, the song goes, right? Ripping the heavens open, and God coming down. This is what the first advent was. That the heavens were torn open and God came down. Hoping for that first advent. That the mountains might quake. A future look. They might quake at your presence. And by the way, parousia, his presence. How about in verse 2 of this same? That the nations might tremble at your presence. And then in verse 3, when you did awesome things. This doesn't look to the future. This means that God is someone who visits his people from time to time. And you know what? Long before the final advent, God may come and visit you. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked. Past tense at your presence. When you came to visit. And so Advent is about his coming of old. It is also about his coming again. It's about his coming from time to time in our lives, all through our history. Two thousand years ago, his arrival brought favor, for sure. I don't want to be too far on the whole negative side of this, because remember what Jesus said. The Spirit is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, okay? This community of faith, I'm preaching to the choir here, for us, right, who love him, who mourn in our heart because of the wickedness that we see in ourselves and the wickedness we see in the earth, his arrival is good news. It is relief. It is a release. It is, O come, Emmanuel. God had sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, comforting those who mourn, giving oil of gladness. His arrival brought favor, and it will again when he comes again, but it will also bring vengeance. Sunday school, comfort and condemnation. I hope that I've painted a picture for you here that shows you that the first advent of Jesus was both of those, that two-edged sword. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, we learn this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unlike in our culture where Santa used to be a faithful visitor, he now in modern times is this socialist Santa. Unlike that, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And in that first century, he came with that two-edged sword. Comfort and condemnation. His second coming will be the same. So be ready, is what the gospel lesson was about. Be waiting for him. Be productive. The world may distort Christmas, and it does, and the world may distort the characters of Christmas, like Santa, and it does, but don't you distort Jesus. Don't you be fooled. Advent is our season of hope. Our season of hope for his final arrival, where he will right those wrongs. Well, he will come again in justice, and he will come again in vindication. And so what do we do? As we read our New Testament lesson, 1 Corinthians 1:7, as you wait for his coming, as you wait for the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 8 says, he will sustain you. And he will sustain you guiltless in verse 8. That means as we walk through this life and, you know, we all mess up, we all slip up, and boy, we can just come into self-condemnation or the condemnation of the devil or all those things that give us trouble and weigh us down. He will sustain you. He will sustain you to the end, and you will be guiltless because of the blood of Christ. That's really good news. That's better than any present you can get. He's the one who's going to rip open the heavens. Verse 9, he is the one who is faithful. God knows your heart. Off script just for a moment here. In Ezekiel 9, God sent his angels out to mark those in Jerusalem who mourned. They were marked so that they would be spared the destruction that was coming to the whole city. Revelation's kind of like a pattern picture of that when we talk about a different mark. Even though Revelation does talk about God going out again and marking his own people. But in Ezekiel, it was those who mourned. Who mourned over all the corruption that they saw. And knew that our culture wasn't right. But were doing the best that they could. He marks them. He marks them for deliverance. And so one day those skies will rip open. And he will come again. And his presence will be known here on earth in a way fuller than we can ever imagine. But no, it will be a faithful visitation. All God's people said, amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this season that we have entered into here. And Lord, there is much for us to rejoice in, to be thankful for. But Father, instead of this being some sort of introspection about our own faithfulness, help us first, to remember that you are faithful and that your visit will be faithful. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be the Savior, to be our Savior, to be the Savior for all of those who call upon him, who call upon him in spirit, who call upon him in truth. We thank you for these things, Lord God. We thank you that you will answer our cries to come and to visit us, to rend open the heavens again. That those skies can once again be cloven. Lord, bless us the whole of the time of this holiday season. And I pray that you would send us out as witnesses to this world that has distorted and made a caricature of Christmas and even made a caricature of the characters of Christmas and deceiving millions into thinking that any such visitors are not faithful. They're not just. They're not discerning. But truly, Lord God, your word says otherwise. Strengthen us for this season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.